May the divine assistance remain always with us.
Amen.
So good evening.
Good evening.
So today, for tonight, we look at tool number 23. You are not to nurse a grudge. That's the translation of RB 80 we're most familiar with in Latin. Iracundia tempus non reservare. Terence Cardone, in his monumental commentary, translates this Latin as, do not wait for vengeance. Although he does provide in his commentary a literal translation that would read, do not hold back the time of wrath. The only problem with that translation, if you don't have a context for it, it would basically say, don't wait for vengeance. Take out your vengeance right now on someone, you know. But, of course, Saint Benedict's saying, there's a constructive way of working and dealing with anger. So De Vogue, another great monumental commentator, scholar on the rule, translates it, at least it comes into the English from his French, you are not to set aside a time for wrath. So don't set aside a time for wrath. You know, at 8:05 I'm going to be wrathful. The rest of the day I will be gentle and kind, etc. So, but let's take apart the Latin. Again, when we do that, we find out there's a lot of nuances, and of course Saint Benedict was always already very, very familiar with these nuances. So reservare, the verb, it does mean to reserve, where we get the English word reserve, but it also means to preserve or to save or to keep back something. Tempus, which we normally translate as time, and that would be the most common translation of tempus, but it has an immediacy to it in the sense of this is the right time, this is the opportunity, this is the circumstance, or it even means, could mean an extended sense, this is a danger or an emergency, meaning act quickly right now. Don't wait. You know, when the animal's attacking you, the tiger, that's the time, the opportunity to do something. And then the iracundia, which is the noun in all this, iracundia, is pretty strong. It means a quick temper, or rage, or resentment, irascibility. So putting those together, I'm going to give at the end of this a translation of my own. But what we're dealing with and what Saint Benedict acknowledges is the reality of anger and the need to learn to live with anger. Today I'm going to do something different because I'm going to quote from the book of Sirach, chapter 28, those first 7 verses. The vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, for the Lord remembers their sins in detail. Forgive your neighbor's injustice. Then, when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven. That's pretty strong. Forgive your neighbor's injustice. Should a man nourish anger against his fellows and expect healing from the Lord? We're already familiar with that from the Lord's Prayer. forgive us as we forgive. Should a man refuse mercy to his fellows, yet seek pardon for his own sins? If he who is but flesh cherishes wrath, who will forgive his sins? Remember your last days. Set enmity aside. Remember death and decay and cease from sin. Think of the commandments. Hate not your neighbor. Think of the Most High's covenant and overlook faults. We saw that with Brother George's famous quote from, we realize, from St. Bernard in so many ways, but also some elements of the retreat from Father Cyprian. Well, the point is, for both Benedict and the author of Sirach, anger is a real life experience, a real life emotion. And anger is raw. And we know from the Desert Fathers and the sayings of them, both their stories and the sayings, how much they are addressing anger in the monastic setting. So if anger is a real life experience, avoidance of anger is real too. In other words, in some ways, just not addressing it. And you know, when we look at least the English language, and I remember getting this from Father Thomas More Newbold years ago when he gave us a number of workshops. And it's not just true with the English language and culture. It's true with probably every culture. Or certainly the Oriental cultures are famous for this. We have so many what we call euphemisms, nice words that don't really state specifically the reality. So instead of saying, "I am angry," because I've somehow learned that that's not acceptable, I'll say, "Well, I'm annoyed," or "I'm rather impatient," or "I'm frustrated," "I'm a bit disconcerted," "I'm sad." Well, those are real, I'm not making fun of that, but also what I'm trying to say is I am angry. Or I'm upset, you know. Well, for Evagrius, the fourth principal vice is anger. Now again, just for review, this is one of the four principal vices, or the eight principal vices, or the logismoi in Greek. Those thoughts that provoke emotional, irrational reactions in me. Now, of course, I'm thinking I'm totally rational when this is happening, but I'm not. Left unchecked, of course, these are going to lead to destructive behavior and ultimately to sin. For Evagrius, this fourth principle of anger, this logismoi, causes hallucinations. It distorts reality, and it puts me in living in a fantasy world. And he says it ultimately leads the person to reject the Christian call for forgiveness. So it's pretty serious to reject the Christian call for forgiveness. Now, John Cashin takes Evagrius and develops him a little further in his fourth principal vice, which is anger. and we find it in Book 8 of the Institutes. John Cashin says, anger prevents discretion. In other words, some kind of balance in things. And I end up going into extremes, even if they seem virtuous. Discernment, it prevents discernment. I can't think clearly. It prevents perceptive insight. It prevents mature judgment. It prevents freedom from a disturbing anxiety. It prevents me from becoming a temple of the Holy Spirit. But as I said at an earlier conference, John Cashin goes on to say, but there is a purpose of anger. There is a good purpose because it's there because God created you with it. And he goes on to spell out three purposes of anger or irascibility: to combat the disordered passions of my heart, to be angry with anger, so to drive it from my heart. So I'm going to get you, anger. I'm going to drive you out of my heart. And to be angry with myself and with the evil thoughts occurring within me, which is related. So the point is, as John Cashin goes on to say, the source of anger lies within me. It's not in you, it's not in circumstances, not in objects, or any other thing. I'm the one who's angry. Maybe that's why it's so challenging to admit that, embrace that, live with it, and work with it. Because it's so easy to dump it on the community or the brother I'm sitting next to and saying, that's the issue. Well, remedies for anger. This is John Cashin. He says, and again, he maybe probably was familiar with Sirach. I need to remember my weaknesses, my sin, and the uncertain state of my own vulnerability. There was something that this evening at that little reading from Teilhard de Chardin really spoke of that. You know, the uncertain state of my vulnerability. Because at any moment, I can collapse and fall. At any moment, but for the grace of God, I'll be there in the gutter, stumbling about. He goes on to say, another remedy is to remember death. Death daily. Of course, St. Benedict already has that in the tools, or adds it as well. And then Saint John Cashin, I guess we can call him a saint, he says, living in community is a remedy for anger. Because when I am living with brothers or sisters, I guess, it limits the degree of my acting out. In other words, I could easily become who knows, but because you are here, I'm somehow on some better behavior. Although sometimes, you know, it's challenging for us because we see one another in the best and the worst of light, don't we? But nevertheless, you know, and then the role of the community and the practice, the observance. I found that out even as a postulant. Sometimes I would just be terribly annoyed, meaning I was terribly angry about some little thing. And yet it was just being respectful and civil and going through the actions that helped me just calm down and then move on. You know, so I offer as a translation of the Latin found in the rule of Saint Benedict, Iracundia tempus non reservare, do not preserve the danger of rage in your heart. Do not preserve the danger of rage, because it is a danger, in your heart. So do something to address it so you don't go out and shoot someone, which unfortunately seems to have become the commonplace reality in American society. In other words, and do not fear this anger, but allow grace to inform it so that your anger may lead to your salvation.